If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 90. 90.
I know.
And today, Thomas Sejesi, who is tearing up Frisco right now, is going to join us in a little bit. But first, we got to go to the big leagues and talk about the big league team. Jeff, things are going pretty good right now.
Yeah, we're doing this on Friday, whatever today is, the 21st. And it's the 21st. And, considering where this team was going into the All-Star break, the way they've come out has been really, really remarkable, really. I mean, they're 6-0. They've swept the Guardians and the Rays.
Two first-place teams and put them in second place.
Yeah. The Rays then promptly lost last night to Baltimore. So they're on a 5-game losing streak. So it happens to the best of them. The Rangers, hopefully, they hit their skid there before the All-Star break at the end of that stretch where they played 30 games in 31 days.
Let's be honest.
I mean, they were tired.
They'll have another skid where they'll lose, you know, out of seven.
I mean, it could be right around the corner. I mean, the Dodgers at Astros at Padres isn't easy, even though the Padres are
scuttling.
Yeah, but it might be a chance for the Rangers to get an up close and personal view of future teammates at the trade deadline. But when you kind of look at this 6-0 start,
but that trade deadline is right there. It's going to be right about that right time there. They're there. Isn't
yeah,
it?
that the 6-0 start. The pitching's been good. The bullpen's been good. We saw Aroldis Chapman, pitching in the ninth inning, which I know a lot of people want to see. Will Smith, though,
but that's not going to happen all the time.
All the time. Will Smith got the save. A couple of those games, so it's but things are afoot. I think you're seeing that there's going to be a need to continue to play the regulars, like Josh Smith and Brad Miller just haven't played. I would suspect that Josh gets a game at least, but they haven't played. Mitch Garver has really kind of been just a backup. I know he's DH'd a little, but they've also had Robbie Grossman in there, and it's time to win. It's time to get through this stretch and hang on, and maybe even pad the lead. Whatever you need to do, but
absolutely, they're in Houston, right? Because after Dodgers, that's here. Yeah. Dodgers are here tonight. By the way, it's Friday, like you said.
Yeah,
and then it's off to Houston.
Off to San Diego, home for the White Sox,
right,
and somebody else who I have forgotten properly. I think it's the Angels, actually. So, anyway.
Where they might look at another potential teammate, or that's going to be over
there? Yeah, I don't. That'll be after the trade deadline, but
we're going to talk about Ohtani here in a second.
Okay, but the things the teams are doing well, everything.
Well, and the best lineup right now that he's putting together, the reason that Garver's not doing anything but backing up is because he's keeping Jankowski and Duran in the lineup.
Yeah.
And you can't argue with that right now. And by gosh, if you got those two in the same lineup, why wouldn't you have Jankowski out in the outfield?
Well, I tell you what, he can play outfield one, and he's hitting like .330 or something. And I know it's limited at bats. He's not a qualifier. Corey Seager's not a qualifier, but he has more at bats than Travis Jankowski. But that's a really nice story. Jankowski had a really big hit to kind of give a little cushion the other night. You can't say enough about the bottom of the order. Duran tied the game against Tampa,
right?
With the
home run,
with the big home run that was Monday night in the sixth. Tavares and Jankowski were very productive in the second and third game. So, and of course, Corey Seager is going to come up and hit a home run. Jonah Heim's going to come up and
Seager
hit a home
being
run.
Seager.
So, I mean, these guys, you can't keep the top of the lineup down very long. Even Marcus Semien's gotten hot again. So, I'm not saying this is the best the Rangers have played all year, but they have played a higher class of competition, and have shown well, and that's also important because you got to learn how to win close games, and because when you get down the stretch and into the postseason, games are going to be close. You're not going to be playing the A's and winning, or the Rockies and winning 12-1. I mean, it's tight. You got to know how to win the games, and so far they're showing that they can. They've had timely hits. The the lineup has figured things out eventually. You know, they haven't scored early necessarily, but
right.
they've figured it out late. The defense has been really, really good. A lot of key double plays have been turned. And then, again, the starting pitching has been more than serviceable, and the bullpen's been a lot better. And so,
yeah, the
good things.
Hey, and good news for Alex Spies, who got
great.
Called up.
Yeah, that's
we
fun.
Talked to at spring training, and just he was just bouncing around like a little kid at spring training. Kind of, he was back.
Yeah,
tell that story a little bit. He was you wrote
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, well, I'd tell you we
you wrote about it back then.
Wrote it. Yeah, the story was on Rangers Today in April 7th. So
$5.99
go check it out. $5.99 a month, $30 for 35 for six and 60 for a year. I might have been our second trip, or my second trip, our trip that we went out there.
Yeah.
I was just walking back there, and I went, dadgum, I think that's Alex Spies.
Yeah.
And it was. I double-checked with Ross Fenstermaker, and indeed it was Alex Spies who was back. He did not pitch. He did not play professionally in 2022. He took a year off to get his head straight. And in the story, he talked about why he did it. He had been injured.
Yep, I remember the injuries.
He didn't say this, but I think there were some coaching situations. He might have been butting heads with a couple of the coaches who have since moved on or been moved on. And I don't think that Alex Spies is the reason for that. But he continued to throw, though. He was coaching Little League. He said he saw the joy that those kids were having. It kind of got him fired up again. You know, he had a daughter right during COVID. And he was part of the alternate campsite, and so he had to leave a little newborn behind and didn't get to see her, and I think that drove him, was an issue for him. And look, the important thing is he got it straightened out. And at a time right now where mental health has kind of been at the forefront in our society, and even with the Rangers with Eric Nadell. Trying to take care of some things that he's been dealing with. You gotta be in the right mind to be your best.
Yep.
And the Rangers, good for them. They didn't walk away from him.
No.
They continued to check in on him.
Boy, it's paid off.
Well, they knew what they had.
Yeah, a guy that
you don't have an arm like that very often.
You can't teach 101 miles an hour.
No, there is a, and Chris Young has been, you hear it. They really do care about the player. They
right.
don't. They look at him at more than just a win or a loss.
Commodity.
More than a commodity. They really do invest into these guys on the personal side. And look, whatever has changed, it's been between the years. True, but he is throwing more strikes. He's added a cutter to go with his slider. He's kind of pitching off of those pitches instead of his fastball, which is a little backwards considering he throws over 100 miles per hour. But
right.
Whatever it is, it's working.
Yeah.
And in his debut, you know, he struck out three guys with just a really good off-speed stuff. And
yeah.
the fastball's still there, and it's always going to be there. And
well, his wipeout pitch is not even a slider. Mm-hmm. They call it what do they call it? It's a little – I was reading something about it, but he's throwing it more than any of them. It's kind of a slider, but it whips a little more.
I don't know. I think the radio broadcaster calling it a cutter.
Yeah.
So maybe
the cutter.
That's what it is.
I'm sorry.
All right.
But he throws his cutter and it's 94, 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not quite, Mariano Rivera has the best cutter in baseball
sure,
history
yeah.
and he threw it repeatedly. That was like the only pitch he would throw. That's a one of a kind situation. And I'm no way saying that Alex Spies is Mariano Rivera, but there are a lot of ways to pitch.
Yes.
And you just have to figure out what fits you. And, so good for Alex. Exciting time. The downside to his promotion is that Taylor Hearn was designated for assignment.
Taylor will be fine. Taylor needs to, if he clears waivers and he accepts the assignment.
Well, he doesn't have a choice. He this is his first DFA. So if he clears, the Rangers send him to
AAA. Okay.
He doesn't have a choice.
Okay, new thing I learn every time. But anyway, he's going to figure it out. They needed the 40-man roster spot. He may not clear waivers, which would give him an opportunity. But I think it's just getting his head right and getting – this is a 6'6" lefty that throws in the mid to upper 90s. If he gets it figured out, he'll be back in the big leagues somewhere.
Well, and maybe there are some similarities you can draw between Spies and Hearn. I mean, Hearn is you know, he has been basically in the same position for since the Rangers got him at the 2018 trade deadline. He has to throw more strikes with his fastball.
Yep.
And that's kind of what Alex Spies' deal was. He could not command his pitches, and he would walk guys and get too many guys on base. And if you look at Hearn's numbers, he'd walk 24 and 39 in a third innings. And, you know, his opponent's batting average is .232. That's respectable. But you just put these guys on base. He'd given up 35 hits in 39 and a third inning, so that's probably a little high. And when guys are on base and you give up hits, runs are going to score.
Yeah,
so
that's what happens.
And you know, you can justify it a lot of ways. I mean, you look at this pitching, where Round Rock pitches. That league is brutal on pitchers. And he had a .336 ERA. But if you're not getting ahead of hitters at AAA and walking them, the problem is going to be twofold at the major league level. And that's, you know, you look at John Fernandez, spectacular numbers, but he's not getting ahead of hitters. And until that's rectified, he's not going to be with the big league team. He's trending the right way from what I understand, but that's kind of the little thing that's holding him back.
Yep.
So, and I guess, you know, this, we're talking about relief pitchers here, that takes you to the trade deadline. You know, is a Jonathan Hernandez a guy that can come up and help the team? Yes. Do you still need other relievers? Yes.
Yes,
and,
you do.
You know, right now Josh Spores is on the injured list, and you know, they said it's not they act like it's not a big deal. You know, it's right biceps tendonitis, which forever in my mind is going to be it is what the Rangers said was wrong with Yu Darvish in spring training in 2015 before he had Tommy John surgery. So every time I hear that, I kind of think of Darvish a little bit. But you know, also with Darvish, they quickly in 2 days said, "Oh no, he needs Tommy John surgery." They haven't said that about Josh Spores, which is good.
Yep.
He's having his best year. I'm still not sure that he's a guy you want pitching in the eighth inning.
He's not a leverage guy. He's got
American League Championship Series with a one-run
lead. We figured out the guy can have some value. That fastball, when he's locating what he wants, he's got a nice fastball, and that slider's good. His deal is he really is more of a 6-7 inning guy that comes in and certainly, like, you know that three righties are coming up that they're not going to pull out of the lineup, then that's when you need Spores coming in.
Yeah, and again, he's shown that he can help the team. He got some big outs there, you know, from that June, late May, early June stretch when they were playing so well. But he also might have been worn out, and they're using him a lot.
Right.
So this rest might be a silver lining, you know, get everything calmed down, assuming it is just a little issue with his right biceps, and get that fixed and come out fresh.
Yep.
I still think two relievers and a starter.
Okay. Well, you could also get a bat and a starter in one guy. Let's go into talking about trade deadline. It's time to start talking about it, because let's be honest. This is the 21st. We got about 9 days, 10 days. And this
11 days. It's going to be – the trade deadline is August 1st.
August 1st. Well, I'm going to be out there. I know that day it'll be out there. I think it's a Tuesday maybe. Trade deadline day to me is one of my holidays. I'm going to go out there and be out there when they open the gate, and I'm going to sit there and play on my computer. And I'm not even care about batting practice or anything else while I try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's an aggravating day as a reporter.
Yeah, not for me. For you, it's aggravating, you know, for me.
And, you know, the Rangers have done a great job. They broke the Aroldis Chapman trade, you know, them and the Royals. They kept it under wraps. There was no, like, Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan, who, by the way,
broke his back.
Broke his back. A tree branch fell on him. He lives in Kansas City. I sent him a text because I didn't get hit by a branch, but I had a similar injury in 2009, and I shared my thoughts with him. His wife is a nurse, so there's plenty of medical expertise on that side, but. Anyway, he tweeted out what happened and said, "Don't worry, I'm still working." And you can work once you get over that first week and the pain subsides, you're fine.
Yeah.
And it's just a fracture. The disc is fine. So that was the case with me. And once it's healed, he'll be fine. And and go out and work out.
And the way these guys, I'm guessing you know this too. I want to get into certain players they might do, but these guys know because they're in cahoots with the agents.
They are.
But agents float stuff too to try to get.
Well, and I mean, there are teams that know how to play the game and they play it. But yeah, I mean, typically when a trade is consummated, the player finds out, the player calls the agent.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, and it's like, well, what do I do? This, that, and the other, and the other team calls, all this stuff. So what might happen in a room among trusted people, once it's like you tell somebody with the team, hey, you need to call this guy, he's been traded, you know, then that's one call from outside the room. Then it multiplies because the player calls
his agent.
Maybe his agent is like, hey, Ken or Jeff, guess what just happened? My guy got traded.
Yeah.
And so then they can quickly put it together. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. It's usually everything has happened.
Right.
And then.
Okay.
And then it's announced.
Look, we can go into every name that everyone's talking about, and there are a lot. I think Padres ought to line up with the Rangers with something maybe if they're really going to go into sell mode. I obviously think the White Sox might have something they can do. Kansas City still has some people, but everyone in the world wants to talk about Ohtani. And I have stated, I got ripped a little bit on it too. First of all, this new thing that's come out has been that they're not even going to entertain it till 24 to 48 hours before the deadline, which I think hurts the Angels, which is stupid. That's posturing. That's just them trying to. But I say, and I continue to say this, Artie Moreno is too big an idiot. He is not getting traded.
Yeah, there's everything the Angels do, there's the Artie Moreno factor. And
he's not going to listen to anybody but Artie Moreno. He may have a president of baseball operations going, this is the dumbest thing we can do. We're not going to get back in this thing. We may have a very slight chance to catch a wild card spot, but we're 9 games out of the race no matter what. And let's be honest, do you want to set a pick that I think – I saw someone said that pick might fall somewhere in the 65 to 75 range.
Yeah.
That player – you could get a few players over that. How dumb are you not to listen to that?
Yeah,
you know, it's not going to be as big a deal as they think it is, I don't think.
Now, the Angels have played better, but they are without Mike Trout. They're without Brandon Drury. They're without Anthony Rendon, which is nothing new for them. So they're playing better right now, winning games than they probably should be. And it might catch up with him, but you know, Ohtani obviously is a fabulous player.
Oh my gosh,
hard to
he's got
hard
a blister going. Is he? Is
that well? He had one before the All-Star break, and he didn't pitch great against the Astros. So maybe I think he's still supposed to pitch tonight, though. But anyway, you know, with on the Artie Moreno factor, he wanted to sell the team earlier, you know, not too long ago, and he decided not to. Well, people who are interested in buying teams don't want to walk into big financial commitments,
right?
Like the Angels have with Trout and Rendon, and would have if they were to re-sign Ohtani. You know, so if he wants to sell, if he does want to sell the team, he's got to get rid of some salary.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, I wrote this Sunday in the Sunday Read at Rangers Today. If you're going to trade Ohtani, you might as well trade Trout.
Yeah.
You know, and try to unload that too. And, you know, if he wants to get rid of a bunch of salary and sell the team, that's one way to do it. You know, Ohtani is a gate draw. He's, you know, the best player in the world. But whatever the Angels try to do doesn't work.
Right.
And the Ohtani thing, yes, he's a great player, but they haven't won a division. They haven't made the playoffs.
No.
Mike Trout's played in the playoffs once.
He's getting frustrated too. Did you see that video when he got? So I don't know if he had a bad at bat. I don't know what he had, but he came in. He came into the dugout. He slammed something down. He sat down, and Rendon trying to comfort him over there, and he just looked at Rendon and went like that, like don't get away from me. Hmm. And I think, a bat at bat can frustrate. Players carry that into a dugout or do whatever.
Yeah.
But I would tell you that, you know, the big thing that a lot of people are talking about Moreno is if he does this, he wants a chance to sign him back is what he keeps posturing. I want a chance to sign him back. Let me tell you one way that you will lose. Look, money's always going to talk, and if he comes and offers $750 million as opposed to $500 million that everyone else asks, Ohtani's stupid if he doesn't take that. And Moreno might be the only idiot that would do that. But what I'm saying is, if you want a chance even to get in the room and talk about coming back, if you don't let him go for a playoff run when you're falling out of it this year, I mean, a player might hold a grudge on that and go, look, you know what? I know money's going to talk, period.
Yeah.
The most money's going to win. I know they might want to play somewhere or whatever, but if there's a huge significant difference in money, I mean, Alex Rodriguez wanted to play for the Yankees, and Tom Hicks came up with his big wallet and threw it down on the table, and all of a sudden he's like, well, I can't ignore this, and he came here and got roided up and hated every minute of
it. He was already roided up.
Yeah, and he ended up getting traded and all of that. I still maintain that – If I'm wrong, I'm going to give away a Rangers Today baseball hat to somebody. I don't know. I say Ohtani doesn't get traded.
Okay, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but the smart move is to trade him. You know, and look, when they say we're going to wait till the very end, they're giving him a chance. That's the front office giving the Angels players a chance to get into contention and
right.
give them a reason to keep Ohtani. Now, if I'm the Rangers, of course you check in on it.
Shoot, yeah, you're going to kick the tires. There's no way you don't.
You check in. But, you know, MLB.com had something this morning about, what would this trade look like? And it looked like, they said, Acuna, Foster, Harris, Leiter, White, and Ezekiel Duran. They might not have said Foscue, but it was way too much.
Right.
You know, Shohei Ohtani for 2 months would be great, but it would guarantee you absolutely nothing.
Right.
And I've said this, if it's me and if I have a chance to get Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto, I would go to Juan Soto because Juan Soto still has another year of control. He plays in another league.
Right.
So you don't have to watch these prospects that you're trading away become stars and then beat you multiple times a
exactly.
season. So I just would stay away from the Ohtani trade. If you want to try to sign him in the offseason, that's great.
That's just putting Ray Davis'
prerogative. And, you know, there were six teams, I think, that met with that Ohtani selected in late in 2017 to meet with, or maybe it was 18. I don't remember. Whatever year it was. The Rangers were one of them.
Yeah.
You know, so were the Mariners, the Dodgers, the Cubs were the team that was furthest east. So when people say, oh, the Yankees and all of this, I don't think he wants to be on the East Coast.
I don't think a lot of the Pacific Rim guys, I mean, they'll go where the money is no matter what. But for travel-wise, going home and all of that, you know, it's a little – you know, you can knock off 3 or 4 hours if you're out on the West Coast going home than coming from the East. And money's going to talk, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But they do tend to, every time they say there's teams in on somebody, they do tend to point to all the West Coast teams, the you know, Middle America teams. And then the Cubs do kind of, I know the Cubs ended up with what's-his-name, who's been hurt.
Suzuki.
Yeah, who's been hurt since he's,
yeah.
I mean, he's never really gotten a chance to get rolling there. You know, the big talk coming out of Japan is that pitcher.
Yeah.
I can't say his name.
Sasaki. He's
22 or something.
He's still
like
so young. Yeah. I don't know if
– but there's
all been, he does is pitch, but he pitches pretty good.
There's been grumblings that they're going to post him.
Well, that'd be interesting.
But he may fall under what Ohtani did, where he has to come over here as an international free agent and you have to hold him under that certain cap money. But it's more about with these guys, they want to get here and they want to play against the best competition.
Well, and if you look at Ohtani as the poster boy for that, I mean, he's going to make a ton of money,
yeah.
You know, and he already is through arbitration and everything. So, but anyway, all right, we've talked too much about Ohtani. I don't trade for him. I look for somebody else. I look for Dylan Cease.
That's who you love. You love Cease.
I don't necessarily like a trade for a rental. You know, there are some good ones out there. I think Jordan Montgomery with the Cardinals is kind of an under the radar guy. On the Padres, I really like Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. it would give the Rangers three lefties at the back of the bullpen, and I'm kind of on the record about saying I don't really like left-handed closers, but there are exceptions, and I think Chapman and Hader would be exceptions.
What about Bednar?
Yeah, sure. If you can work something out with the Pirates. I mean, you know, it's kind of like if you aren't going to contend, if you want to stay in this perpetual rebuild mode, a closer does you no good.
No.
So you might as well trade him. So you can look at that, too. There's a lot of
that's
things
that Keller are out there. That's why Keller isn't going anywhere, because they're not that far away from getting some good talent there, and that's why I think Keller.
That O'Neill Cruz has been hurt for them this year after he broke his leg or whatever, so they're not playing with a full deck, but and they're not terrible. You know, they're an okay team. They had a really good start, but they're going to sell. And if you have something to sell, sell a reliever, because you can find a reliever. So again, need a starting pitcher. I like Dylan Cease. Need relievers. There's a lot of guys I like, and I'm okay with a rental for a reliever.
What about Bellinger and an outfielder?
No.
Do they need him? They don't really need him.
I don't think you need an outfielder. You really don't. If Duran's going to be your left fielder or Duran Jankowski is your left field, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's an above 300 average.
So what you do is when you've got a great lefty on the field, you're going to put Garver at DH and Duran in left field, so you have more of a right-handed lineup. But if you're going normal, you've got Duran and Jankowski you're going to keep in that lineup. You have a great defensive outfield. And there's not enough said about good defense, period.
Yeah.
And the Rangers' defensive outfield is good.
Yeah. Now, the outfielder I would get is Juan Soto if he's made available.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know, and look, you know, it's again, you're training with the other league. A.J. Preller has depleted the farm system. Here he gets an opportunity to rebuild it and go ahead and make another big trade in the offseason or something. So sure. That's where I'm at. So we'll get into more in the trade deadline on the next show, because it'll be right on
time. It'll be getting close to it, too.
We might have new players to talk about.
Right now, we got to get to Thomas to Jason.
Yeah, we do.
All right, guys. So Frisco Rough Riders bringing you Thomas to Jason right after this. The guest today, Thomas Sajacy, is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on in Frisco?
Well, you know, they're going out of town here after wrapping up the series here on the 23rd. But that's okay. That's okay, because they have a big event at Riders Field, but during the road trip, they are playing host to boxing fans. So if you like boxing, you need to be at Riders Field on Saturday, July 29th, where you can watch the Terrence Crawford-Errol Spence fight. Spence is the local guy from Dallas. Terrence Crawford's from Omaha. A lot of people think pound for pound he's the best fighter in the world. He hasn't lost, so that's pretty good. But he is getting older, and Spence is a young and up-and-comer. But if you're looking for a new way to watch a fight, go on out to Riders Field, watch Errol Spence against Terrence Crawford Saturday, July 29th. Go to MILB.com/Frisco for more information.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from Frisco, where the Rough Riders are in town, it's Texas Rangers infielder Thomas Sajacy. This is his second time on, and, man, he is tearing up. Double A's just not enough for him.
That's right, it's too easy.
Too easy. What's going on, Thomas?
How y'all doing? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I know we've been – every time I've seen you here the last three or four months, been like, hey, we got to get you on. And last time I told you, today was the day, and by God, it happened. So
here he is.
Thanks for – I don't know if you had to wake up early or you're putting off lunch. Well, I guess it's not lunch yet, but putting off any plans, we appreciate it. So what's going on, man? I know you kind of got a late start to spring training, and maybe that carried over into the season, but since, like, the end of April, you're killing it. What's working?
Yeah, thank you. I don't really know. I just try not to pay too much attention to the results and just kind of keep my head down and really just trust my instincts with my swings and my feel. And that's kind of just what's been working. You know, it's, I think a big thing for me too is like not really panicking when I don't feel right. It's like maybe look at it more of a challenge, like, oh, this is going to be fun to see if I could somehow beat this guy when I don't, when I don't feel my best. So,
okay. I think I know the answer to this. Would you rather, but I might not. Would you rather go 1-for-4 and hit 4 bloopers, or would you rather go 0-for-4 and smoke the ball 4 times?
1-for-4?
1-for-4.
With a blooper and 0-for-4 and smoke it 4 times?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Those are pretty even, honestly.
Yeah.
The thing with the 0-for-4 is you're like, okay, I'm feeling good for the next day, for the next couple of days. The 1-for-4 is like, okay, yeah, I got my hit, but I'm not like really where I need to be. What are the other three?
They're not good. They're all, how about they're not in good contact?
Yeah, no good exit velo.
I'll probably take the 1-for-4.
Got to have results, right? This is a results-based business.
I mean, a hit and not a hit, you know? I'll probably take the 1-for-4.
But
I'll take both of them happily, honestly.
But I think my point is that, you know, you want to hit the ball hard every time.
Yeah.
And it seems like that the people I talk to and seems like you do that as well as anybody. And they say that there's a knack for getting the barrel on the ball. Do you have that knack, I guess? I mean, can you consciously put a barrel on the ball, or are you just up there trying to hit the ball?
That's a good question. I'm not consciously trying to do that. Mm-hmm. At times I have been throughout the year, consciously trying to put a barrel on the ball. But I wouldn't say that's like a main thing that I'm like trying to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously you're trying to do it, but I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm consciously trying to put a barrel on the ball.
So you step into the box. What's your approach?
Oh gosh. I find this. I used to ask this question, and I've always thought there's one approach. And there's kind of a main one I stick to, but I find it changes pretty often just based on what I feel or what I'm feeling in that moment and kind of who's on the mat. Well, that doesn't really dictate it usually, but based on what I feel kind of, it changes often. But one that I like a lot is just looking for a fastball middle in, and then setting my sights there. And then that's one of them. Another one's just go be free and have fun. You know, like that. I have a whole bunch that I kind of just, whatever I feel in the moment, I'm like, oh, that feels good right now. So let me just do that.
So you're hitting over 300. Your OPS is over 850.
881.
It's almost 900. Correct. Thank you for correcting me. And you lead the team in home runs. Do you find yourself getting pitched any differently now than maybe you were? Do teams recognize that you're this badass hitter in the box and they got to be careful with you?
Definitely a little bit before the All-Star break, I was getting pitched just a little differently, a lot more breaking balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I felt myself for the first time, maybe since high school, that I really felt it. I felt like I was a kind of a threat in the box, and that pitchers could feel that. And just some at bats, I'd feel like, dang, he just spiked like a 2-0 breaking ball.
Yeah.
And I felt like, all right, he's kind of like, I don't want to say scared, but I just felt, I don't know. I felt good. And I was like, all right,
terrified. That's the right word.
So explain this. I think I know what you mean. When you say spike a 2-0 breaking ball, you mean make a swing at it, like maybe you're fooled, so he'll try to come across the plate again? Is that what you're saying? Try to deep
throw it
in the dirt.
Throws it in the dirt, yeah.
Like 2-0, you would say, all right, he's going to throw me a heater. But instead,
yeah.
They're showing him showing him respect by throwing him something that isn't straight.
He's still spiking a curveball even after he's gotten down on you. I see what you're saying.
And that's usually like a 2-0. It's kind of like catching a lot of the zone in a way. I don't know. I'm not in the mind of a pitcher, but I feel like if I'm a pitcher and I throw a 2-0 curveball or 2-0 slider, I'm going to make sure it's kind of in the zone.
Right.
And when I see him like not even close, I kind of feel like, okay, I feel like they're afraid of me type thing. Yeah, that was just a couple of times before the All-Star break.
But, I have absolutely no idea how that feels. I don't think anyone's ever been afraid of me in the box.
Well, you had that great week against Springfield where you hit like over 500 and you were the player of the week in the Texas League. It seems like it would seem to me like as a series goes on, especially with you guys playing these guys six times in a row, that the way you get pitched could change in a series. Have you noticed, have you seen that happen to you or Evan or whoever else?
I have. I've seen that happen. Who did I see that happen with? I saw it happen with myself. I'm trying to remember who it was against. I think it was against Midland.
Okay.
And I don't know, I don't know for a fact, but the beginning of the series, I think they were pounding me with breaking balls, like show me a fastball up and in occasionally, but mostly just pounding me with breaking balls. No, it was breaking balls and fastballs away. And then I crushed a breaking ball, and then, you know, obviously they're still going to throw a breaking ball, but yeah. Then they started going more. I remember one game, I was like, oh, they went fastball away like a lot. And they went there with two strikes too. And then I got a hit on fastball away. And then maybe I got a couple hits to right on fastballs away. And then they started coming in. And it was funny to kind of see that. But it's kind of a... it's an interesting thing because I feel like, you know, if I'm a pitcher, I'm going to pitch to my strengths. Just like I'm a hitter, I kind of hit to my strengths.
Right.
So in a sense, I'm sure they look at scouting reports, obviously, but there's only so many pitches that you can throw too, you know?
Right.
Like, you got to throw it over the plate at some point.
I agree.
Yeah, can't walk, guys.
Nope.
So, how are you feeling defensively? It looks like you've kind of settled in there at third. I know you can move around. I was there July 4th, and you made a nice diving play. And is third your place, and or is there some place you'd rather be?
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine wherever they put me, to be honest. I get comfortable at second for a couple games. I get comfortable at third for a couple games. Third is a little less natural for me, but after I've played it for quite a bit in pro ball, I'm pretty comfortable there too. So, you know, wherever they put me, I'm happy to go.
Have you ever played in the outfield?
I mean,
ever,
maybe once for like a couple innings or something.
like a little league or what?
They're killing a team. They put their best players out in the outfield. And they put some of their players that want to get a little work in. So that's probably what it was.
In Little League, I played right. In 9U, I remember that. I played right.
All right.
And then somewhere in middle school in a scrimmage, I played outfield. That's
so
not like
so when you mind. were you nine, were you out picking daisies in right field? Because the right fielder for my son's team would occasionally be picking flowers and not paying attention.
He could get distracted.
I couldn't tell you, honestly. Hopefully I was pretty into it. I don't know.
Yeah. So do you, I mean, this time of year with a team as good as the Rangers are in the major leagues, there's all this trade talk. I'm not saying that you're involved in any of it, but are you guys as players aware that, geez,
things might change.
Things
in the next
might
week.
Be changing.
Yes. I'm pretty aware of it, but at the same time, it's like you think of it for 1 second and then it's like, okay, I gotta go get my stuff together. Like I gotta go do the stuff I need to do for today, you know? So it's like, you're aware of it, but then it's just kind of like, all right, cool, but let me just go get my stuff done today. And then I kind of forget about it, but, cause it's kind of a weird thing. Like there's not really, I feel like you can't really prepare yourself for that and you shouldn't, cause I mean, maybe prepare yourself. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe prepare yourself a little, just that it's a possibility, but I feel like you just got to take it one day at a time because it's just such a weird thing and can happen on the fly, I guess. So,
yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you this, not every minor league player is in that situation. You have to play yourself into the fact that somebody might be looking at you because they value what you are and you've put yourself in that position. Look, you're in Double A hitting over 300, lead the team in home runs, OPS, you put good at bats. I would say some team that's a player that other teams might look at and go, we've got a place for him. And you know what? That's a testament to you. Cause there are some players that aren't being looked at by other teams.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean,
we don't want you to leave. We like you here, Thomas. We like dealing with it, but you know what? Being traded never hurts a player. That usually means someone's got an idea for you and it might be good for you. But
yeah,
you know, hope you're still hanging around here so we can give you some crap and talk about how you love to grind it.
That's right. So still no batting gloves, right?
No batting gloves. I used one earlier in the year, but
I know I saw it. Remember, I confronted you on it. I was like, "What? You were doing batting practice, I think." And man, I got a blister.
Is it hard to grip the bat when it's 100 degrees or 105?
Luckily, there's pine tar, and I tend to spray my bat or put pine tar on my bat every at bat, so it's not too bad because it's just sticking to my hand at that point. So, but without pine tar, I'd definitely have thrown it a couple times this year.
Yeah, it just seems that's, you know, like Josh Smith doesn't use batting gloves.
Yeah.
And he'll bend over and pick up some dirt out of the batter's box.
But he's also in a 72 degree air conditioning, right. And Thomas is out in 105 degree weather.
Yeah. Yeah, but what do you do when you get a blister? I mean, you got to get them, right? Just suck it
up. I mean, at this point, most of the time I don't, just because my hands are pretty calloused. But yeah, just wait, I guess, and then, you know, use a batting glove. It's fine. It's not that bad, you know. It's not the end of the world. People deal with a lot worse. So,
so do you do anything to make your hands tough, like in the off season? Because, like, what was it, Moises Alou who said that he used to pee on his hands? I don't want to know about that. But I mean, I think there are some things that, like, guys tried to do to make their hands tough.
Yeah, we don't care if you're hawking loogies on it or whatever, but, you know, keep the urine out of it.
I don't know, whatever works.
I mean, I have done that, and it does work in my experience.
All right.
Really? Okay. That's better. It must be the ammonia or something in there?
I don't know anything about pee.
I looked it up one time and it said it doesn't do anything, but I know for a fact it does work.
All right.
But so, I don't
hold
really.
On, hold on. Do you just let it dry?
Well, it's usually just like in the shower or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. So you're not.
I'm not just letting you dry and go.
You're not at a restaurant saying, "Hey, I got to go pee on my hands real quick. I'll be right back."
No.
He's not
no,
coming
no.
up third in an inning and running to the bathroom real quick, trying to get
Time to get the hands ready.
Hey, you know, these are things you need to know.
This guy wants to be a big leaguer, whatever it takes, man.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
All right.
But honestly, for the most part, it's pretty – my hands are so calloused at this point, and as long as I keep hitting.
Yeah.
They're fine, you know.
Gotcha.
You got a routine through the off season too, so you're going to be hitting in the off season too and keeping it. Not like you take 6 months off and don't hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So you're rooming with Evan and his wife. Yes. And dog.
Yeah.
What's the dog's name?
JP.
JP.
For Jumbo. What I've
Jumbo Paddington.
Me? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What's that?
It's a. They had a schnauzer, well, Evan, and then they got a giant schnauzer.
Yeah, he had a mini schnauzer named Paddington, and now he got a giant schnauzer.
Okay.
And named him Jumbo Paddington.
But that goes by JP.
JP, all right.
It's not Julio Pablo. It's is it he's this, you know, they're newlyweds, and I know you were his roommate last year, but is it at all awkward, or is that all out of the way now?
Not at all. I mean, I've known Kaylin, his wife, since I've known Evan at this point.
Okay.
And she was there a lot last year.
You're in the same draft.
So, yeah. So at this point, it's just kind of like we're all friends-ish, you know? We joke around and say that they're my parents.
Oh, okay. Do they cook for you and do your laundry?
They do clean a lot more than I do.
That's good. All right. Well, you know how this works. We turn it over to John at some point and turn it over to John.
All right. We'll have just a few fun things before we get you out of here. All right. We're going to go about your teammates now. I want to ask a few funny things about your teammates. Hey, who's the best dressed guy you're playing with?
Best dressed guy. Either Jax. No.
Biggers was one we've gotten before.
We've gotten Biggers before.
I don't want to give him the satisfaction. I'm going to say Ever Bueno.
Okay.
Okay, Bueno, okay. Who's the funniest guy? Who keeps everybody light, head, I mean, cracked up and all of that?
I'll go with Jax for that one.
Jax is. Biggers is. Okay. So Biggers is the funniest guy. Is there anybody that's a prankster? I noticed that guys don't prank like they used to, but is there anybody that's a prankster?
Probably Acuna. Acuna's the biggest prankster, I'd say. Yeah.
Has there been a best prank? Has there been one that's pretty funny?
Nothing really like crazy, but he'll just like around the horn, he'll just like look away.
Oh,
when I'm throwing the ball to him,
look like he's not looking, and you've thrown it at his head, and all of a sudden,
and then I almost throw it away a couple times, and then, he's always messing around. So like anything, just random stuff in the clubhouse.
He seems super quiet, and maybe some of that's the language, but around you guys, is he?
He's not that quiet. No, he's not. He's like maybe shy when you don't know him, but once you get to know him, he's not as quiet, I think.
Okay.
And his English is getting good, right? Pretty good.
The English is getting better.
Yeah.
Getting better.
That's good. Okay. All right. If you were in a back alley fight and you needed one guy standing there with you to take this on, who's the guy you want standing next to you?
Kellen Strom.
We have had Strom.
Yeah.
Used to be Owen White before he got moved up, just because I think everybody thinks he's just...
Well, somebody said Kellen has a big head.
I've heard that.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, we have the biggest head in Bruce Bochy.
Yes.
And, you know, he's an old catcher. He might have been the answer a few, you know, 30 years ago, John.
Yeah.
Well, could have been. Not 30, 40 years ago, John. He might have been the answer.
Hey, you know, I got to give Thomas some credit here. Because he can't tell that I've lost a little weight, but I'm kind of doing some low-carb stuff.
Okay.
And you know that I'm a big Whataburger guy, and he's told us he likes Whataburger, but he is a California guy, so he likes In-N-Out. In-N-Out does what a protein you get your burger without a bun. They do it, wrap it in lettuce.
Yeah.
Kat and I did that last night after pickleball. Man, that thing's climbing up my – that was a good burger last night, that In-N-Out. You're an In-N-Out guy. You've already admitted it, but I've always liked In-N-Out. But, man, that was good.
I don't know how I can do that. I mean, shit, you know, you're
working out every day.
No, I'm not, but you're going for a burger, right? I want the whole experience.
It was good. It was like eating a burger.
No.
He's going to argue with me here.
You got to have a bun. Did you have fries?
I ate a couple fries, but I did not eat the bun. Wasn't worth it. All right, we're getting away from that.
Burger with a bun. Fries.
Well, that's the best thing in the world, but I weigh
soft drink.
I weigh 230 pounds, which I should be 6'3".
No.
And I'm not. Thomas has seen me. Hell, he's I'm 3 inches shorter than him.
If I ever murdered anybody and got the death penalty, I would want burger, fries, and a soft
drink. Okay, that's what you're going.
That's my meal.
You see where this goes with us two? See where we go every time. I mean, this
burger
this
with a bun. If they brought it with lettuce, I'd say just kill me now.
Okay. All right. So we got that on Strom. Hey, anything you're binge watching right now? Maybe you and Carter and Evan and his wife.
I myself am watching Suits right now. But, Suits.
Okay. Hey, what I just started that. I'm on season, I think I'm at the end of season two. How far into it are you?
I'm at the start of season three.
Man, this is a good show. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Meghan Markle's in it.
Yeah, Meghan Markle's in it. It just kind of fell into my lap, and that's an interesting show. All right, we got to keep up with what's going on. It's a pretty interesting show. I like it. Okay, anything? What are you doing on the team bus ride? Anything? Are you just watching your show or sleeping? What are you trying to get done? You guys don't travel like you used to. You travel one day. It's on Tuesdays now, right? Or
Mondays? Yeah, pretty much Tuesdays and Sundays. I usually just try to get a little spot on the floor, catch some sleep, maybe listen to some music or some podcasts. Well, maybe read a little bit.
Rangers Day Baseball.
He's always got to listen to this podcast, right? So
it helps time fly by.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You know what? I think we've kept him long enough. I got more. I'll ask him another day going into it. Let's see if we get one more out of him.
Get one more out of him.
Okay. All right, so hey, let me ask you this: when you were growing up, who were you a fan of? Were you kind of near San Diego? Were you a Padre fan?
Dodgers.
I was a Yankee fan, actually.
Yankees, okay, from across town. Who was your hero? Who was your hero when you were growing up?
We liked a lot of guys, but definitely Derek Jeter.
I think everyone loved Jeter. That's good. That's a good one.
So, how are you a Yankees fan?
Yeah, how did that happen?
If you lived in Southern California.
My parents are from New York. Okay. I guess that's my excuse.
You know
I became more of a Padre fan as I got older, actually, towards high school.
Were you born in California?
I was, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you had to make the cross-country trip.
Yeah, but, you know, it. Me too. If I lived somewhere else and my kids were born in California and I was a Ranger fan, they would be Ranger fans because that's who I'd be watching all the time.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in Denver and we didn't have baseball.
Right.
So whatever was on TV.
You were a Cub fan.
Cubs, Mets, and Braves.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So those were my teams. And then we'd go to spring training and we wouldn't see the Braves or the Mets, but you know, we'd see the Cubs. And
I get it. If your parents were New York fans, I get why you were a Yankee fan growing up. And Jeter, that's a good one. All right.
But anyway, so baseball, my son's on his own. He gets to be a fan of whoever he wants.
That's true.
Because he's, you know.
You didn't grow up a Ranger fan. He's just covered.
He's born here. He is a Rangers fan, but he likes Luis Angel's older brother a lot. So he likes the Braves. And has Ronald ever come around?
He hasn't. He Louis went to a game in Texas that Ronald was playing in.
Right, y'all were in town that week. Yep.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't think he has.
I mean, Louis, as you call him, he's got that same gear though, right? He's got the yellow cleats and
he got something. I don't know. This might have been last year, actually. He got an elbow guard from his brother. That's pretty cool. But yeah, he's got all the same stuff.
Yeah, their dad's a big man.
Yeah, but they're both shorter. I mean, even
they're shorter. Yeah.
Ronald's not real tall. I mean,
6 foot maybe. Yeah. But yeah, because remember, my family went to a Braves game last summer, and Ron Washington hooked us up with tickets. God bless Wash. And we were in the Braves players section, and a bunch of Acuñas were right in front of us. And his dad is like 6'4".
Holy crap.
6'3", 6'4".
Mom yeah. must be 4'7".
They're might be little people, but yeah. And they're, you know, nice as nice can be. But
because Louis's not as tall as you, is he?
No.
Because you're, what, about 6 foot? You're flying right at 6, right?
Yeah.
Close to it. All right, man. Well, look.
Oh, and his hair, he went short. It looks good.
Yeah. Look at you.
Short hair is the way to go.
Did Mrs. Carter make you do that, or you just decided you're tired of
getting it? Did mom say, come on.
Did mom say, hey, go get your haircut right now?
I just did it myself, actually.
You know what might help? 100-degree
yeah.
playing every night, 100 degrees. It might just help not to have a shag up there.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
all in the way.
Did you do it yourself, like you have your own clippers, or did you go to Great Clips or something?
I went somewhere, and then I got another haircut recently from Hatcher, actually.
Oh,
Josh, man. Hatcher.
Yeah.
He did
a pretty good job.
That guy's got a lot of tools in his bag, then. He's
catching, got a lot of tools,
and he's cutting
bag.
Hair on the
first base. He can do it all. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know what? We'll do a fun one. If anybody on your team was going to be a movie star, who would it be?
Oh gosh, Ryan Garcia.
All right, that's who it is. With that,
we like Ryan.
We do like Ryan.
I mean, almost all those guys have been on our show.
They have, and you're one of the. We're getting into about maybe close to 10 that have been on twice, but
yeah.
You've been in demand trying to get you on here. Tom, listen, man, we appreciate it so much coming on. I know you got to take a little bit of time out of your day to stop down. It's always fun to see you. We'll see you out in Frisco when we're there. Anything else for him?
No, just keep it up, man.
Yeah, keep up the numbers and doing what you're doing. Thanks again, Tom, and we'll catch you out in Frisco.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
That's Thomas Sejacy, infielder for the Frisco Rough Riders and the Texas Rangers. Right after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. Down in the Bus Leagues is brought to you by the Round Rock Express. Jeff, what's going on in Round Rock?
Well, you know, they're in the middle of a homestand right now against the Reno Aces. Depending on when you're hearing this or watching this, they may be out of town. But if you're listening on the weekend of the 22nd is Round Rock Donuts Night. And if you've been following their social media, there's some pretty good stuff on there. They're giving away Round Rock Donuts jersey. I would assume they're giving away Round Rock Donuts. If they're not, you know, I would be pretty upset. But then these guys go on a road trip for 2 weeks. 2 weeks dark at Del Diamond. I tell you what, go ahead and come back on August 8th when they have they're going to have their Taco Tuesday, as they do every Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs every Wednesday. The Brew Review is sticking around for Thursday, August 10th. And then the 11th, they're having Chili Night with Brian Baumgartner. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy from The Office who made the big pot of chili and spilled it in the office. So anyway, Kevin, good stuff always happening in Round Rock. And I tell you what, when August 8th comes around, that team might look a little bit different. So for more information, though, as always, go to MILB.com/round-rock.
All right, a big thank you to Thomas Sejacy for joining us. Now, guys, from the Round Rock Express, it's time to go down in the bus leagues. Let's talk about the bus leagues. We're going to start at the bottom and go up.
All right.
We'll go to Down East, who are 11-10 right now, 3-7 in their last 10, and they've lost a couple. They're the only minor league team that's semi-scuttling a little bit.
Well, they won the first half, so they're a playoff team. Yeah, you know, it's probably just like what's happening with Tampa Bay. All teams go through this. They're still not an offensive juggernaut down there and down east, but the pitching's good. But, you know, the pitchers are going to have bad days, and if you can't score, you're going to lose games. So that's kind of what they're going through. But you still all the same names we've said 1,000 times this season are still down there. You know, it'll be curious to know if Wyatt Langford ends up at Down East. And
you think they'd start him there? I think they might start him at Hickory.
Well, here's the thing. Let's see. The highest position players the Rangers have taken in the last 5 years were Aaron Zavala in 2021 with the second-round pick. And then, you know, Foscue obviously was a first-rounder in 20, but he didn't have a minor league season.
Right.
So highest drafted position players who had an opportunity to play in the same year. All right, how about that?
Yeah.
Aaron Zavala, 2021. Josh Jung, 2019. Where did they go? They went to Low A. At the time, for Jung, Low A was Hickory.
Right.
But that's where he went. He went to Hickory. And Zavala went to Down East. So I'm not saying that those two guys are better prospects than Wyatt Langford. I honestly don't know. But just going off a recent track record, this group hasn't changed a lot.
No.
The general manager changed, but the same –
it's pretty much largely the same group.
There have been a couple changes, but I would think that Low A – and I mean, he can move up. That's fine, but – What Down East has going for them, as the Low A teams did in 19 and 21, is that they've qualified for the playoffs. So you could drop Wyatt Langford into a situation where he can get some success under his belt and where he can play in the postseason and get a feel for postseason baseball. And I know it's different no matter what level you're at. So I would think that he would start at Low A. That's my guess, but I don't know. Hickory or Down East could definitely use him, just based on the lineup. You know, Anthony Gutierrez is still down there. All the guys, Cam Colley,
Moeller,
Figueroa, Ian Moeller, you know, guys who.
But none of them are just standing completely out right now. I mean, they're looking. They're still young, and this is new pitching that they've never faced before, coming from where they come from. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Langford's an interesting thing. I think you and I both got the feeling from Kip that he is going to an affiliate.
Yeah.
He all but said that, and he wasn't going to, you know, he's not going to come out and tell you exactly, and he left an opening there for maybe we won't, but he certainly sounded like he didn't see a situation where he wouldn't go to the.
Yeah, and Chris Young said it during the press conference the other day that, you know, Langford wants to get out, and he wants to play, but first we got to send him to Arizona.
It's onboarding. Now they're onboarding.
Onboarding, and, you know, and he hasn't played since June, so you don't want to just say, all right, guy, go play left field and throw the ball as hard as you can. And
he's going to go hit in the cage. He's going to go.
Right. He's going to get built up. He's going to have a little spring training right in the middle of the 110-degree heat. And
I think he does. You know, there was a point where he kind of acted like he might even not even do any ACL games. But, I mean, why wouldn't you stick him in a game or two? Yeah,
absolutely.
Just be like, hey, go play today and go hit first and play left field or whatever and just get rolling.
Just get some live pitching and game situations under your belt.
Yeah.
It may be like 2 or 3 games.
Yeah.
You know, but. Nevertheless,
and if he goes 0-9 with 9 strikeouts, it won't matter. They're gonna hit him out to an affiliate. They're just trying to get some cuts going on him and doing that. Were you there for the batting practice?
I was.
So tell me where some of those were landing. No video really showed it. I heard he was going upper deck.
I think a couple times he did, and I would hold the camera on him, so I'd be looking at the camera, and I couldn't. You know, I don't track the ball. I just track the swing, and so you would swing, whack, and then three or four seconds later, you could hear it hit something.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that one cleared the fence.
Yeah.
So if he hit the ball to right field, I was able to, because I was on it. Anyway.
Did he take any out to right field?
No, not that I saw.
Okay.
But it looks like it'll do.
Hey, it's exciting that he's going to be out there. Hopefully we'll get him on in the next few weeks. He's going to be busy getting going.
Right.
But I think the Rangers, they've been really good with us about getting those guys on. But
yeah, it's on their.
They know that we want him.
Stove.
Yeah, they know we want him. Hey, let's go to Hickory. Hickory's 15-4. They're playing real good in the second half.
Yeah.
They're 6-4 in their last 10. They won last night. You know, that team right there, we knew all along had some decent talent on it, and then now they're really starting to pull together. That first half was a little bad for them.
Yeah, you know, Abby Ortiz.
My gosh.
Gosh.
He hit two the other night.
Yeah, what a season he's putting together. Good for him. Good for the Rangers.
He's got to get to Double A and do that because that's that jump.
Yeah. And I don't know that he gets to Double A this year, but maybe he does. Maybe at the end. I mean, it sounds like they have a list first baseman
right
taking at bats at Frisco. So, but again, that's just a fun little story. Also, Larson Kendrick has been pitching a lot better, and Mitch Bratt's still there. So it's not they've got some.
Did they just move guys. Bratt to the development list or the IL? Did I see that?
I don't remember.
I got to check that look real quick. Yeah, let me look it up real quick. I thought I saw that. But who else there that on that team?
Max Acosta, who...
Who's been doing pretty well.
A guy we've talked about all year, Cody Freeman, who's still learning to catch. You know, his brother plays for the Indians, Tyler Freeman, and that dawned on me the other night. It's like, hey, maybe I should go talk to Tyler and say, Cody's a good kid. We had him on our podcast. And
yeah.
I didn't make it over, but a good baseball family there. And so it's
yep.
It's
Mitch fun. Bratt is on the injured list. 7 day out.
It might be a rest thing.
Yep.
His numbers are fine. I haven't talked to anybody in player development for a week or so. So I'm catching up.
So you're gonna assume it's not Kumar Rocker, who's also on the IL. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, I think they would have announced it.
Yeah. Okay. And Emilio Teodo, who's
he had a really good outing here this past week. And you know, he got hurt in his second start. His elbow was bothering him. Turned out to not be anything like Kumar Rocker.
Right.
They were very careful with him. He's a smallish guy who throws 100 miles per hour. So
skinny, real skinny guy.
You don't want to put a Ferrari engine into a Volkswagen Bug. So they took their time with him and. And that's good. He needs the innings. All these young guys need innings.
Yep. Frisco's 9-9. They have stayed 500 all year.
Yeah.
They're 9-9, 5-5 in their last 10. And they did win one last night. Let me tell you, our guest, we've already talked about that.
Yeah.
Let me reiterate. He's hitting .310. He's got 13 home runs and an .881 OPS. I mean, wow, he's doing well. Carter, who's come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And now they're really Acker. Well. You got Acker that's starting there now that got moved up.
Yeah, Josh Steven, it did end up on the injured list after he left the start with the back deal. TK Roby should be coming back here either late this month, which can't get much later than now, but or in August. But the news there is Jack Leiter is on the development list. To work on his mechanics. You know, it's interesting. I asked around a little bit about it, and, you know, one guy who we really trust said he has too many people in his head. They just need to let him figure it out. Well, they're not taking that route, but maybe they can give him the stuff that they're seeing if it's something that's obvious because, you know, he was pitching pretty well. Then he was on the list for – just some rest. Then he came back, and whatever had been working suddenly wasn't. So maybe they saw something. Maybe it's a quick fix, but they said he would be out indefinitely. Kind of reminds me, and you had mentioned this previously, you know, Roy Halladay came up when he was young.
Went all the way back to A.
Almost threw a no-hitter in his debut, and they sent him all the way back to A ball. He was struggling so much the next year. I'm not suggesting that's going to be what happened because, A, Jack Leiter never pitched an A ball, which – probably is looking like a little bit of a mistake, but I just think that they're going to take their time with it. They want to get this guy right. They see the arm. They see all the metrics. They see the work ethic. It's just putting it all together. And again, from May and June, he was really good.
Well, they got it on the development list. It's sort of like an IL thing too, a rest thing. Why not do a rehab start and go down to Hickory and maybe pitch once or twice? And the crowd would be big because they would all want to go out and see this first-round pick, kind of like the Kumar Rocker pick, and then get in there, and he would probably, you know, do well against some of those younger players who are a little more swing-happy when he works on his stuff, but get a little confidence going. I think, like you said, this guy's – I don't think it's a confidence thing. I think, like you said, there's a lot of people in his head right now. I've seen it. His stuff is major league stuff. It is big. His problem is falling behind batters.
Yeah.
And when you're falling behind and pitching from the deficit, I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were talking about earlier with
– only Jacob DeGrom has the pitches to get out of it.
With Taylor Hearn and
yep.
Jonathan Hernandez. You've got to work ahead.
There's a new guy at Double A who's an old name, that is back, and that's Matt Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Who the Rangers signed. He was DFA'd by he was released by the Brewers, where they traded him for Antoine Kelly.
And Mark Mathias.
And Mark Mathias, who was great last year, by the way. I like Mark Mathias, really nice guy. But, you know, it's good to see Matt back. I think he was comfortable here. This was the team that really kind of resurrected him after all the issues he had. I hope he can figure it out. That was a great bullpen arm when he's on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he like you said, throws hard. He worked on his off-speed pitches. He became pretty good little reliever, and he's dealt with so many injuries. Of course, you know, he got off to a late start with the Rangers because of his legal issues. But, you know, it's not dissimilar from the Josh Hamilton situation. The Rangers took him. They nurtured him. Matt Bush doesn't need an accountability guy. But, you know, they're guys who just get comfortable. And
right.
Yeah, hopefully you're right. Hopefully he's enjoying staying at home right now. He lives in the Metroplex and can make the short drive to Frisco, and hopefully whatever was ailing him gets fixed. So there's another guy you can put in the mix.
And don't look past the point where there's a point in your head, too. It's like, you know what? No pressure. I just got to go out, figure out my crap, because they're giving me a chance here, and there's no pressure on me. I could either retire and go home, or I can maybe figure this out.
Yeah.
So maybe he can, and he could help. That's an arm that could help if he gets his stuff together. We know he's a back-end guy. Sure. On the offensive side, obviously, we talked about Evan Carter, how good he's been playing. Aaron Zavala hit a bomb last night.
Yeah.
He's kind of – what's Aaron doing now? He started off really slow.
Yeah.
But he was coming off injury. He's got four home runs. He's hitting .215, .682. But, man, he was like hitting .100 there for a few weeks. I mean, he was really – not doing well. So
yeah, and Acuna's been great.
Yeah, so. And Acuna's been great, obviously, on offense. All right, so let's go to AAA.
Okay.
Round Rock Express, who's brought us this segment today. Round Rock Express are 12-6. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've lost one. That roster's going to look different, I think, eventually, too. There's some guys there that could.
All the rosters are going to look different. But, yeah, you look at AAA and guys who could be trade pieces. You have Dustin Harris, who's been playing better at AAA than he was at AA.
Right,
he's a 40-man guy. You know, Sam Huff's been really, really good. I don't think they would trade Sam though, because they're going to potentially have need for a catcher next season if Garver isn't re-signed.
Garver has an option, right? They got to
pick. He doesn't. He's at the end of his arbitration. So he goes into free agency.
Okay.
You know, John Ornelas had a nice little 12-game hitting streak that ended the other night. Davis Wenzel's still popping home runs. You know, there are a lot of names out there that are going to be involved in trades. I mean, you know.
There's three or four of them that are probably ready to be in the big leagues. They're just blocked.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair to say.
Wenzel, you've got Julio Pablo Martinez,
yeah,
who's played unbelievable.
Yeah.
And somebody brought up something that was kind of interesting. It would be funny about that if that guy ended up being used in a deal that brought Ohtani here, because that's the guy they went and got when they lost out on Ohtani. Yeah. You brought up how disappointed.
He was playing B, yeah.
Yeah, how disappointed they were that they didn't get Ohtani, but they went out and got him. Mm-hmm. And who started out hot when he first came over here and did well, and then he kind of tapered off for some reason. But he, you know what? He's only, what, 25?
Now he's 26 or 27. I mean,
but sometimes it's later.
And guys come on their own path, on their own timeline.
Another Cuban, and let's look at the Cuban.
Cubans.
Know. Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, you know, going from Cuba to the United States, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
And he also needed LASIK surgery. He had it last year. But yeah, it's hard to say that he's not.
Shouldn't get a look. Well, I got to be honest with you. When Garcia got hurt the other night for a little bit there, I thought to myself, I wonder if this might be an opportunity to see JPM come up here and do something. It sounds like Garcia's not going to go on the IL.
So yeah.
There was nothing on the X-ray or anything
to
that.
Right.
Same thing. What happened? I mean, I was trying to follow
it
on.
He got hit by a pitch.
He got hit by a pitch. Yep. Okay. Where did it hit him?
It hit him on the pad or right around the pad. So I think it might have been it was the eighth inning. Rangers were ahead.
But they put Josh in to run for him, right? Yeah. Josh Smith. Well, they might have done that. Well, you usually don't run for Garcia, but precautionary, getting
in. End of the town. Whatever. It's fine.
The best thing is that Gray, we didn't talk about in the big leagues, that turned out to be nothing.
Yeah.
It was 112 miles an hour.
Yeah, and that hurts.
That's an ouch.
Yeah. One more on Round Rock. Cole Wynn pitched well.
He's coming out of the bullpen now.
Yeah.
But that's not their long-term plan with
him. No, but maybe that's how he's comfortable right now, and just finding him a routine and something that works. So,
3-inning shutout the last time he was out, I believe.
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was like 5.
Was it 5? I thought it was 3. I don't know. I'll look it up.
But anyway, Baseball America came out with its top 30 prospects, and Colwin is 25th, which is tells you something. But Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, and Sebastian Walcott. Sebastian Walcott's now third for Baseball America. And you look, we didn't talk about the Arizona Complex League, but he's just destroying it. You know, he's a young 17. Remember that.
You think he'll go to Down East?
Yeah, I do. I think he's, you know, Anthony Gutierrez last summer tore up the Dominican, came to the ACL, started out hot, tapered off, didn't get bumped to Down East, and they thought they would. Well, this is kind of the opposite. Walcott wasn't very good in the Dominican for a couple, some various reasons, one of which is, you know, he's an English speaker.
Yeah.
He came here and he's just taken off. So it wouldn't surprise me if he gets up to Down East this year, even though he's only 17.
Well, you saw in my top 20, any of y'all that saw that I think that if Langford gets promoted, look, Carter, when Carter leaves and gets up to the major leagues, it's obviously Langford's probably going to move up there. I don't know yet. We'll see how he plays as a pro. But I think Walcott's a guy that could be the top prospect in this organization within the next year or two.
Yeah.
I really think that, depending on what happens ahead of him. That's a good problem. If that guy's your second or third prospect, that means you've got some good players, because I think that's going to be a top 10. He might be a top 15 guy in all of baseball in a few years.
He might be.
I mean, that's how good he is. Well, this has been a good one.
Yeah.
Been a fun one.
We talked a lot.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thomas Sejacy, great for him to come on and talk to us. he's always interesting to talk to. But, you know, a lot of fun. Guys, you're going to be out there all weekend. We got the Dodgers in town.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I might try to get to Sunday's game. I've got a little personal stuff I got to take care of tonight and tomorrow. Good friend. By the way, the family of Sharon Ballou, she was like my other mother growing up. She passed away this last week, so I'm going to be a pallbearer in a funeral. Loved her to death. She chewed my ass out more than as much as my mom did when I was growing up. So my best buddy's coming in town, all the sisters. We're going to head out to Vernon tonight and go see the family. But hopefully I get to go back. I'm missing the Dodgers, and it stinks. I planned on being out there tonight.
Yeah, well, yeah, those are always tough.
But obligations, and as adults.
Life happens, man.
Yeah, life happens, and as adults, we got to take care of them. Yep. Guys, this has been fun. Number 90 is in the book. We're 10 away from 100. We got to figure out something fun to do for 100.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be – maybe right during the postseason.
It could be. That might be fun. We're going to have a good one coming up. For all of you that have been a part of this one, don't forget to – hey, Round Rock Express, Frisco Rough Riders, big thanks to them. Also, big thanks to the Dub Network for putting us on there. $5.99 a month.
$5.99 a month.
That's $60 for the year, $35 for that. Until next time, guys, we will see you at the yard.